I am here. We are here. Welcome to another episode of Be the Vibe Radio with your hostess, Crystal's son. And we are already cutting up. Oh my God, I can barely get through this introduction without us cutting up. It is January 5th, 2022. Oh my God, it is another new year. I don't know where the year went. It is another new year.
Another new year.
Yes.
Happy new year.
Yes, happy new year. And if you hear that voice, you know that we are in for another episode of The Why in the Sky for January 2022. OMG.
Capital OMG.
Yes.
Exclamation point.
So if you're tuning in for the first time, welcome. Why in the Sky is a monthly spiritual and astrological forecast that we do. I present myself, Crystal presents the tarot portion, and our special guest, Mr. Shaman Hands, presents the astrological forecast.
Yes, indeed.
Yes. And a little bit about myself. I am the voice of Be the Vibe Radio, the content creator. I'm also the owner of Simbi's Conjure Shop in Atlanta, Georgia. I am an Olorisha. I am an author, seer, medium, Reiki master, all the things.
All the things. All the things. New mommy.
Yes, new mommy. I'm educator, teacher, instructor, all of that. And
priestess.
Priestess.
You said that?
Yes, Olorisha, I did.
Oh, okay, yes, mm-hmm. You did.
Yes, I did.
Can't keep up with all those credentials.
Oh, my goodness. If you want to know more about me, you can check out the About Me on my website. But, Mr. Shaman Hands, you want to introduce yourself?
A little bit about me can be found on the previous episode because I feel like we got so much to talk about.
We have new people.
Okay.
Introduce the new people.
All right. Hey, new people. I apologize. So, for all the new... We're delirious, y'all. We are delirious. We're going to probably get to that in a minute, too. But, yes, Shaman Hands, that is me. I am here in the building with you guys for yet another Why in the Sky. And myself, a little bit about myself. I am a registered metaphysician. I am a certified holistic practitioner, certified wellness consultant, product consultant, Reiki initiate, Lukumi Aberisha, ordained healing minister. Ordained healing hands minister. I wanted to say that properly. Ordained astrology minister. What else? Diviner. Am I missing some things? Shaman, of course.
You got a good little list going.
Okay, good.
There's
some other stuff in there I can't think right now.
Yes.
Because we are dealing with some new parent brain.
Oh
over
my
here.
God, y'all. No sleep. Little to no sleep.
Zero.
Delirious. You guys, we're lucky we're even doing this month's Why in the Sky.
Oh, you are so lucky.
Oh my goodness. We have our special guest with us. He's asleep. Hopefully he stays that way, which is a little Nugget. Nugget doesn't have any credentials. He's new to the crew, so
Well, he's a shaman too, but
You know,
Shaman Hands Jr. in the house.
Yes. So.
But we're not going to put him out there like that.
But you just did.
I mean, well, I wasn't going to add to the list.
To the credentials.
That's all I was going to say was the Shaman Hands Jr.
A little special baby, a little empath baby.
That's right.
So, yes.
Starseed baby.
We are, I'm actually excited to talk about this month. It's going to be a good month, according to the cards that I pulled, which is refreshing. Definitely a
yes.
good sign as for, you know, it to be the month that kicks off the year. So
yes, get excited, people, because we got a good year
upon
us. We yes. really, really, really do.
We do. All right. So I guess with that, we're going to get right into it. So, again, I am super excited about January 2022. And the one thing that I will say that got me excited is the fact that all the cards pulled were minor arcana cards. And so for those of you who know a little bit about tarot or those who've been following the Why in the Skies, you know that when we have a reading that is mostly minor arcana, it means that we have some measure of control over what's going to happen for that particular month. So we have a little bit of that going on. or at the very least, this month is all like how this month plays out for each of us depends on how we react to things or certain things, right? So again, it's all about our actions and cause and effect. So the themes for this month are renewal, focusing on our passions. That is the biggest takeaway for the month, which I'll get into when I talk about the cards. Clear thinking, overcoming struggles and obstacles, and intuition, and this being a month for leaders. So if you are in a leadership position or you're being called to step into your leadership, this is going to be a really big month for you, all right? So I'm just going to get right into it. So the first card pull is the Ten of Wands. And, you know, wands represents fire, what we're passionate about, etc. And it's funny because in most traditional decks, the Ten of Wands will depict like a guy who is carrying like a bundle of usually 10 sticks on his back. And he's kind of bent over almost like it's a burden. And so initially this card can come across that way. But all it really is signifying for us for this month is just hard work, responsibilities, and hard work and responsibilities. So basically the message is that now is the time to put in the work, right? Do not ignore your obligations, right? This is not the month to ignore your obligations. This is not the month to ignore your responsibilities. On the flip side, though, don't take on more than you can handle. So a lot of what the Ten of Wands is telling us is to just keep track of what you put on your plate, because this is a month for responsibilities. This means that anything that you put on your plate for this month, you're obligated to. There's an extra sense of obligation to it, almost to the sense of you not being able to back out of things. So before you even commit to anything, like make sure it's something that you can absolutely do, that you can absolutely complete before you commit, because you're going to be held to it at an extra standard for this month, right? So with that being said, make sure you delegate this month. This goes into that leadership role, that leadership position. You know, if it's something that you cannot do or something that you need help with that's overwhelming, make sure you delegate. Make sure that your work is fueling you and not draining you. That's the other energy of the Ten of Wands. So, you know, a lot of times when people see that Ten of Wands, it just looks so depressing because it just like it looks like, oh, struggle and you know, hard work. And yes, it does mean struggle. I mean, hard work, but not necessarily struggle. The struggle only happens based on how you handle that hard work or those responsibilities. So make sure, that's why I say make sure that your work, that what you're doing is fueling you. Because remember, wands is a suit of cards, a suit in the deck that is specifically about what you're passionate about. You know, so a lot of times when we're doing work that we love, it doesn't feel like work. You know, it's what fuels us and feeds us. If we're doing things that we don't love or that we're not passionate about, it is draining. You know, so that's the other aspect of the Ten of Wands, is just like the responsibilities that come with taking on the things that you're passionate about, right? Taking those things to the next level. But the biggest thing about that Ten of Wands is making sure you invest your energy wisely, right? Don't waste your energy, because that's another aspect of wands and fire, is that it burns itself out eventually, right? That's the ultimate end game of a fire. It burns until it burns out. And so think about that as you think about, you know, what you're taking on for this month, and make sure that you are, because there's an extra energy of obligations and responsibilities, make sure that you're not putting your energy into things that are just wasteful. All right. Now, the next card was the Two of Cups reversed, which is a very interesting card. I found this card to be very interesting for this spread. So the Two of Cups typically represents attraction, drawing things to us in balance, emotional balance. But it's reversed this month. So
didn't you get the Two of Cups last month reversed?
Did we? I'd have to look at my notes.
I feel like, because Venus retrograde happened, and I feel like the Two of Cups.
It was the Lovers.
Oh, reverse. Never mind.
Which the Two of Cups does represent the physical aspects of the Lover card. Okay. You know, the Two of Cups is how the Lover card plays out in a on a physical level, but it's reversed. So it is, you're not off. It's in okay. the same, right. So with the Two of Cups reversed, well, first of all, cups is water, and water represents emotions, right? So it's interesting that you have the Ten of Wands, which is, fire, very dynamic card. Any of the tens represents the ultimate manifestation or the ultimate energy of that particular suit. So you have like the strong dynamic card of the Ten of Wands followed by the Two of Cups, you know, reverse, which means, you know, there's a lot of passion. Excuse me. I've been sneezing all day, y'all. So you have very dynamic energy on an emotional level with this Two of Cups reverse. And so the ultimate message is that this is not the time to overly focus on relationships. Okay. It's just not.
During a Venus retrograde.
It's not.
It's interesting though, because I actually know why that is. I'll talk about that.
I'm actually excited to hear that part.
I'll talk about that. Remind me though.
Yeah, because again, to me, like when I go through all the rest of the cards, the Two of Cups, it seems so almost like out of place. But you know, it'd be interesting for me to hear it. You know, I mean, it fits in the theme, but it's still that one card that just seemed kind of out of place. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's not the time to focus on relationships or put too much focus. Remember, Ten of Wands is asking us to invest our energy wisely. So that also goes into our relationships. The Two of Cups reversed is basically saying that our relationships will just be rocky this month, but don't worry about it. That's the reason why there's an emphasis of not to focus on it too much, because relationships are just going to be bumpy. That's just what it is, no matter what we do. And the more that we focus on those relationships, trying to fix them, trying to figure them out, the worse we'll make them, right? So Two of Cups reverse is basically saying that to ride it out, you know, ride out whatever's going on with your relationships. When I say relationships, it's specifically with other people, specifically romantic relationships, and probably sometimes a little bit of friendships, or any relationships that you have that are very strong, like you feel strongly about, right? It's gonna have issues. So ride it out. The other aspect of the Two of Cups reverse is that our magnetism will be decreased this month, or there'll be some funny things going on with our ability to attract things. So don't even focus too much on that this month. Just let things come to you. Be with the flow. Don't worry too much. Just don't worry. Just don't worry. Swim with it, you know?
Just swim with it.
Yeah, because you think about it. Two of Cups, cups is water. If you are in that reversed aspect, the Two of Cups reverse aspect of things, you're essentially a fish swimming against the current. You know, anytime I think about any of the Cups cards reversed, it's an energy of trying to go against the water, go against the current, you know? So a lot of times when we worry or we're too focused on things, it causes us to take actions that are going against the current. So that's, you know, just flow with it. It'll be challenging, you know, but especially because this is a month where we'll be very much connected to what we're passionate about and what excites us. So we'll be more invested in it. But again, you know, anytime you come across something, a situation where you are being asked to invest your energy, ask yourself, am I investing my energy wisely? And then from there, you know, you'll be able to kind of know what to do or how to move or not move, depending on what your answer is. The other aspect of Two of Cups is any relationships, new or old, just don't do it. So what I mean is, if you got somebody new that's trying to come into your life and date you or whatever, don't do it. No, this is not the month to do it. Mm. If you have anybody old, like past.
Oh, yeah, I definitely agree with that. 100%.
Right. Any exes, you know, old people, old friends, people you've cut off, if they're trying to come back, just don't do it. Don't do it.
Yeah, God, no, please. I'll talk about that too.
Yeah.
Or I'll talk about why more why
more
that
why
is.
Yes. Yeah.
Please don't.
Please don't. Yes. Please don't. Please don't. And lastly, the Two of Cups represents not trusting your intuition. So it's very important for you to make sure that you are trusting your intuition and you're having faith in things, which is funny because, you know, I just did a podcast about faith. And so faith kind of has a theme here as well. But make sure that you're trusting your intuition, that you are listening to your inner voice, to your higher self, because not trusting your intuition is also going to cause you to go against the current, you know, to not flow. All right. So I think I hit y'all with a lot. I think we're going to go ahead and take a little commercial break. Mm-hmm. We'll return in just a few minutes.
Be right back.
Does your home feel cluttered, uneasy, and unsettled? Tired of people coming in and out of your sacred space? Every day you get up and go into the universe. Sometimes, where we go, we can bring that back into our house. And all of that energy can get stuck right inside of your carpet. That is why I came up with Forever Protected Carpet Cleaner. It is 100% natural. It has all natural ingredients and it is homemade. This carpet cleaner literally shifts the energy of the whole entire room. All you need is to sprinkle it no more than 10, 15, 20 minutes, vacuum over it, and literally feel the energy of your home, your sacred space, feel beautiful, amazing. This product can be located at Psalms and Conjure Shop. Get yours today, not tomorrow. You won't regret it.
The last couple of years have been tough on everybody, and I mean everybody, and it's been really hard trying to get your life together when you're not sure what to do and where to turn or how to go within. But that's where divinations come in. Tarot readings by the Bearded Witch Tarot. You can find her at Simbi's Conjure Shop if you're an Atlanta resident, or you can add her on Instagram at her spiritual store. Psalms and Conjure. Click on that link and book her. Why? Because she reads you to truth and not filth. She will help you to find solutions that's coming straight from the source, straight from your benevolent ancestors and spirit guides. You want to get your life together? Book a reading with the Bearded Witch Tarot.
And we are back.
So hopefully you enjoyed that commercial break.
Yes.
No, we are so delirious. With that, I'm just going to go ahead and get right into the next card. So this next card is one that I was really excited about. This is the card that made me excited about January.
Yes.
It is the Eight of Swords reversed. Now, Swords, you know, it is air. It represents our perceptions. Well, first, communication, but also our perceptions, our way of thinking, our inner dialogue, the things that we tell ourselves. And so the fact that it's reversed, the Eight of Swords reversed, it brings the message that we are coming out of a struggle, that we are overcoming our obstacles. So I was very happy because that just means that all the struggles and the things that have been, you know, tensions and things that have been going on pretty much the last several months, we're finally coming out of that, you know. So we definitely have some good news on that end. And the Eight of Swords reverse represents an ease in tensions. And so, you know, this supports the Two of Cups reversed, because remember, you know, there's going to be a lot of relationship tension, a lot of arguments and things like that. But the Eight of Swords reverse is saying, you know, that we'll overcome it. You know, that things will be that it'll be some ease in that, you know, in those situations, which is another reason why, again, I stress with the Two of Cups reversed, to just let things ride out, you know, let things go with the flow, because eventually it's going to get better, right? That's what the Eight of Swords reversed is saying. The other thing about it, the Eight of Swords reversed, is that it is about removing blockages. So we're going to have a lot of our blockages removed, you know, a lot of things that, I know quite a few of us, I know me as well, have had just certain things that have just been not moving. You know, certain things that we put out there that just have not.
I think the whole world's been feeling it.
You know, and so it has got frustrating at this point, because it's been several months of that, right? Uh-huh. So this Eight of Swords reverse is basically saying that those blockages will be removed, that things will be cleared and things will be cleansed, but also to make sure that you are proactive and that you do a lot of clearing and cleansing work. So this is a month where, you know, of course, things are getting worked out. You know, on the physical level of things being cleared out, but that you also need to be proactive on a physical level and clear your spaces. You know, go do your spring cleaning in the winter. Get rid of, you know, dust, get rid of things that, you know, are broken or worn or no longer, you know, you no longer use or no longer have a purpose. Do your spiritual baths, your spiritual washes, wash your floors. You know, this will be a strong energy of cleansing and clearing for this month. The other aspect of the Eight of Swords reversed is to be mindful of feeling trapped in a end of your frustrations. So, you know, remember, you know, swords is about perceptions and things that we tell ourselves. And a lot of times what we tell ourselves are things that just aren't true. So this whole idea of feeling trapped and having frustrated behind it, we're going to have a lot of that feeling this month, but it's going to be a complete contradiction to what's actually happening. Because remember, the Eight of Swords reverse is coming in and saying, look, I'm clearing this shit out. You know, so we're going to see things clearing and things moving and blockages being removed, but we're still going to feel trapped. You know, we're still going to feel frustrated. So basically, these feelings of being trapped in our frustrations, they're all in our head. It's all in our head. And that also is in alignment with the Two of Cups reverse. Because remember, you know, there's going to be a lot of relationship issues going on. And it's going to be over things that are just not true, things that are just all in our head. So, again, that's the reason why it's so important this month to just go with the flow and, you know, allow things to play themselves out, you know, and focus on, you know, just clearing and being, you know, as, you know, open as possible, you know, and flowing as possible. The other aspect of the Eight of Swords reverse is to take care of your health, okay? So that is the biggest thing I want to stress for this month, is to pay extra, extra, extra attention to your health, okay? So if you feel sick, you know, stay at home, doctor yourself up, or go to the doctor if you need to. Get up on your immune system, take your echinacea and your vitamin C, and, you know, make sure that you are, you know, doing your vitamins and doing your exercise and drinking your water and doing your herbal teas and, you know, anything that you're doing in order to maintain your physical health. It's extremely important, because there's going to be an added energy this month of illness. And so it's best, you know, again, to take that leadership role, that proactive role, and just nip it in the bud before it becomes a problem. Right. And not just your physical health, but your mental health is important, because, again, swords is air. Air is our thinking. Right. So if we're find ourselves in a bad mental space, make sure that you're taking care of that, you know, going, you know, doing your therapy or your journaling or whatever you need to do to release those things, you know, mentally and emotionally. And also take care of your spiritual health as well this month, okay?
I just want everybody to remember that when I get to my part, She did not look at my notes, and she does not know what's going on with the planets.
I swear we do this every month, but we're just amazed at how accurate, like, my tarot pool is for the month.
Yes.
Like, every month.
Because you're literally, like, saying everything. Like, you're even talking about how, never mind. I don't want to jump all into your part, but I just wanted to say that, like, shit is crazy how, like, one point your spread is with what the planets are doing. Even, like, because I'm going to talk probably a little bit about even February and March. But, like, yeah, you're covering all of that shit. It's crazy. Yes. That's it.
Okay.
I apologize.
No, it's fine. I'm excited to hear your portion. But, yeah, so back to the health part. You know, I'm sensing that it's important to, you know, watch your health diligently, go at least going into February. Like, this is not just a January thing.
See what I'm saying?
You know, this is something I think pretty much will probably remain through the rest of the winter.
Oh, my God.
You know, and again, take care of your health on all levels, right? So that's the Eight of Swords reversed.
Oh.
Now, the next card is another card another eight, and it's the Eight of Cups, right? And so, you know, Cups, you know, is another emotional-ass card.
is it Eight of Cups?
Eight of Cups,
oh,
yes.
Oh, God.
You know, Eight of Cups. But, you know, the Eight of Cups is a promising card. It represents emotional fulfillment and rebirth. Mm. So basically what this card does is it supports the Eight of Swords and the Two of Cups, because it's basically saying that at the end of it all, you're going to have a rebirth. At the end of it all, it's going to be an emotional fulfillment, an emotional overflow and a pouring out of good energy. So that's another reason why it's important to just go with the flow for this month, because when everything works itself out, when all is said and done, you're going to get that energy. It's going to end in the energy of the Eight of Cups. The Eight of Cups is also a very feminine card, feminine embodied card, a very nurturing card. So it represents nurturing. It represents people being more positive and optimistic. So you're going to find that. And a lot of times too, you know, New Year's does that to people. You know, when we get into a new year, you know, people automatically start feeling more motivated, more positive just in general. So that's the energy that's going to carry and linger for the rest of this month. But you're going to see like an extra, you know, addedness to it, right? And so, you know, people being more positive and optimistic. Another message with the Eight of Cups is a change and leaving baggage behind, right? So when you look at a traditional tarot spread or tarot deck, you'll see the Eight of Cups represented by a person who's they're like in this long cloak, and they're in this boat, you know, on water, and they're rowing their boat away from the shore, and on the shore is like eight cups. Most of the times they're empty cups, or sometimes they may have some water in them, but the message is clear that this person left those cups behind because they're on a boat. So if they take those eight vessels with them on this small rowboat, it's going to weigh them down. They're not going to be able to get across the river. That's the energy that the Eight of Cups is bringing, is, you know, leaving any type of baggage behind, like change. This supports the Eight of Swords reverse, which is this energy of clearing and cleansing. You know, it's not just cleansing and clearing your physical space, like all aspects, anywhere where you find baggage, anything. Like, ask yourself, if I'm on a boat and I need to get to the other side, if I put this on the boat with me, is it going to help me get to the other side? That's what you need to ask yourself.
Mm.
You know, So that is the energy that the Eight of Cups is representing. And it requires you to be very honest with yourself, you know, about what is baggage and like what's hindering and what's helping you, right? The other thing the Eight of Cups represents is restlessness and a desire to travel. So, you know, again, it supports the Eight of Swords reverse, because, you know, we're going to feel trapped. You know, a lot of us feel, you know, that we haven't, you know, for one, you know, winter is like a dormant season anyway, and we already get restless as it is, but there's this extra energy of it. But you know, it is the Eight of Cups represents the emotional side of the Eight of Swords, which is, you know, the feelings of the restlessness coming from feeling trapped. So it's a good month to take trips, but small trips, you know, because the Eight of Cups is a very physical card. It doesn't represent long range travel. It represents like maybe taking a little staycation or traveling to the next city or the next state, but not like going abroad or even relocating. You definitely don't want to relocate during this month. This is not the month to relocate. This is the month to, you know, take a little small little trip somewhere, you know, hour, 2-3 hour drive.
If that,
and then bring your ass back home. You know?
Oh God.
So you definitely want to get into that for, you know, this month. Again, the Eight of Cups is calling us to pay attention to our intuition. So this is the second card that's showing up that's saying, you know, pay attention to your intuition. Again, this Eight of Cups also says to go with the flow. It's the second card that's saying go with the flow. Okay. And then the last card is a character card. You know, remember we talked about, we always talk about character cards, the, you know, king, queen, page, knight. And I feel like we're going to have character cards show up a lot. You know, it's been a while. Every Why in the Sky pool that I've done since at least last year has had some character card, meaning that.
Since when last year?
I want to say at least since about late spring, early summer. I remember pulling some type of character card, some type of page, some type of queen, some type of knight, something. And what that means is that our interpersonal relationships are just important. Like they're highlighted. The way us interacting with other people is highlighted. And also our own characteristics, too, are being brought up. You know, the character cards represent the character of the collective consciousness. You know, and it's heightened right now because of just everything being so exaggerated on a spiritual level. So, you know, we have the King of Wands. And so it's interesting because, you know, the King of Wands, King represents the mastery of that particular suit. And do you have that paired with the Ten of Wands, which was the first card we spoke about. And that card, the tens represent the culmination, the final manifestation of that particular suit. So you've got two final manifestation cards of the same suit in one reading. So what that means is that the King of Wands, oh my God. Let me take a break and take a sip of my tea real quick. That delirium coming up. The King of Wands represents what we're attaining to as we move through the energy of the Ten of Wands, right? Mm-hmm. It represents the mastery. So the King of Wands is precision. It's mental clarity, mental mastery. It's study and ambition, you know? So what I find is that the King of Wands represents that leader. You know, I talked about that leader, leaders and leadership being a theme for this month of January. If we step into our leadership role, especially with things that we're passionate about, then the ultimate attainment of that is the King of Wands energy. But also I have a warning because there's those of us who embody the King of Wands energy naturally. So for those of us who are already in that energy, there's going to be an extra expectation on our leadership, meaning that people are going to be looking to you more and looking and judging you more on what you do and do not do. So for those of us who embody the King of Wands naturally, this is an extra, it's an added warning for you to be very mindful of your obligations and your responsibilities and what you take on, because if you don't pull something off, if you don't honor your word, if you ignore your responsibilities or whatever, you're going to have an added emphasis of people shitting on you, basically, you know?
So I just thought of something. Because King of Wands, like, I'm always thinking about, like, the elements and, you know, the king and, you know, which character we're talking about within that element, right? Mm-hmm. So who does the king, and if we're talking about astrological zodiac signs, who does the King of Wands sound like to you?
I don't know.
Leo.
Oh.
The sun, the king, fire.
Right.
So, okay. Yeah, so that means that Toya will not be taking on...
Because I am a Leo.
Any new projects because I'm putting my foot down right here in the middle of this broadcast. Okay. So don't
you all heard it.
Only come to her if you're ready to be disappointed, because she's going to tell you no, and I'm telling you now. I'm not going to let her do it, because I'm not letting her go through all that shit that she just said that y'all all going to be going through if y'all have that personality, and that fits her personality so well.
Oh, my goodness, yes. So it's on record. You guys have heard it. It is officially in the wine sky that I am not allowed
to take on any new projects.
So,
yes, take heed.
Take heed. Okay.
And all my other Leos out there,
yes,
beware.
And just anybody else who is in that type of embodiment.
Yes.
You know, just, and even if you don't think you are, still take a look at all of what you are. The way you can tell is how people are responding to you. So if you find that people are, you know, making you feel extra guilty about not doing something or not finishing a project, or, you know, if your bosses are coming on you harder, especially if you're like in a manager position at work.
Or trying to force you into the leadership role in regard to something that might not even have shit to do with you or your interests.
Exactly. Those are clues that you're in that King of Wands energy, right? And so to have your boundaries.
Who does that sound like?
Who?
You.
Oh, yeah. That is actually very true. So just take heed. So on a positive level, on a developed level, the King of Wands represents someone who's intellectual, open to ideas, charismatic, seductive, good judgment. You know, so this is the person that people come to for advice or to mediate.
Or
judge, someone who's an actual judge at a judge's bench, you know, and having to mediate things.
Oh, my God. That's you to a T.
On a shadow side, the King of Wands is impatient, destructive, oppressive, closed-minded, and overly ambitious. This is me too. On the shadow side, if I'm not on my P's and Q's. You know, so it either represents characteristics that we have or characteristics of these particular leaders. Or, you know, we'll be dealing with people with these, with either side of things. You know, either the shadow or the developed sides of the King of Wands. So, yeah, that is my portion.
You did great, honey.
Thank you. So with that being said, we are going to take a short little interlude.
We're going to do some music this time.
Some music.
Okay.
Yeah. And before we get into, we're going to let you guys take a breather. That was a lot.
Rest your brain, because I got a whole lot more coming.
Yeah, because he over here looking at two calendars. So I don't know. We're going to take this break.
Serenades or sunsets can't rewrite regret, simplify concepts or erase the debt of gratitude. When you're too low in your attitude to charge your latitude, you feel like food, and I bet you're thinking that you lost your way. Brain full of thoughts but not a word to say, too caught up in the world to have the urge to pray, so you splurge and you purge your life away. There's a better way if you believe it so. Sometimes you gotta feel you can't just know. Another time you need another set of eyes to incentivize, to energize that love below. Somebody sees the God in your image, even when you're broken, shy and timid. That Mary J. love uptown with no limit. Only way to get out is to get up in it. Jordan, peel your own onion. Lay bare unnecessary cares and assumption. Concern yourself with conservation less than consumption. Less the clock that you're punching and more the reason for the function. Life's a calculator risk, but you can solve it hands-free. Evaluate it off hand speeds and specifically what the land needs. Narcissistically, reap what I sow, I'm what the man breeds. And man, we found one hell of a family. Pulling coattails and hamstrings from land boats that flow well to Camrys. We band together on the gap, outstanding science. Scientifically speaking, on that Coldplay, nobody said it was easy. OJ, okay, 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 you ain't gotta be lost to find your way. Just thank you, Heavenly Father, for shining your light, for shining your light.
And we are back.
We are back.
Are you ready?
I think so. As ready as I'm going to be.
Are they ready?
I don't know if they're ready.
All right, let's find out.
They're ready, actually.
All right, let's find out.
I think they're ready for this one. Guys, we got a lot of good news. So much good news, in fact, that I don't have time to talk about it all. How about that? There's something to smile about. So, but no, seriously, like, this is going to be a good year, y'all. I'm actually really excited to, I think I'm going to take some time here soon to actually take a peek ahead through the entire year on my calendar to see what else is coming, because this is like the year that a lot of us have been waiting for. You know what I'm saying? That's why I was over here just rolling my eyes and shaking my head, like, at some of the stuff you were saying about, you know, a lot of the blockages getting broken up and, like, things finally starting to move forward in a lot of ways. So we're about to get into some of the details of that. But I'm excited because January is, like, it's going to be a little interesting. Like, it may not feel as much like we're moving as far ahead as we're speaking about in this broadcast. But by the end of March, really even by, like, mid-March, let's see. Hold on, let me give you a little free candy here. March 6th, mark that on your calendars, people. So I might have some time to get into a little bit of those details if Toya lets me. But yes, by March 6th, you're really going to get to see, like, you know, everybody being able to move, like, more full speed ahead. Like, we're really going to shoot out the starting blocks, like, big time on that day and for the rest of that month. But let's talk about January. So January is a little peculiar. Because we have a lot of energy that is suggesting, like you said, finally being able to move forward. But it's like, it's got kind of this hint of, like, having to do it in a very, like, having to be very careful about your movements so that you're able to partake in those blessings and in that supportive energy of being able to move forward. Because I mean, a few, like, really wrong moves, and that could be your ass. However, we have a lot of things that are pointing us in the direction that we want to be facing. So as long as we just, you know, take heed to those cues, those signs, you know what I'm saying? I feel like everybody would be all right. So if you're listening to this, hey, congratulations. You're part of that group. We ended out the year 2021. With a lot of, like, real, like, stagnant energy, I guess I want to say. For those of you that did not know, Venus, we are in the middle of a Venus retrograde, which is going to last for a while, so we're going to talk about that. But the Venus retrograde started officially on December 19th, so we're actually, like, 2.5 months in already with the Venus retrograde. And, dun-dun-dun, Mercury retrograde is coming again. I know. I was like, when I first saw that, I was like, damn, I was like, didn't we just have that? But then I remember, like, oh yeah, we had the pregnancy, the labor, the delivery, the baby. Like, we had a whole lot of shit going on for a few months. So, like, I forgot all about the fact that,
it was coming.
Yeah, and that Venus, I mean, Mercury retrograde, the last one was all the way back in October because it was around my birthday. But yes, Venus retrograde is coming around again, folks, already. So, what that means is, like she already told you, health concerns, communication. You didn't really get into the, well, yeah, you did, communication a little bit. You talked about that a little bit. But basically, shit just going haywire and having all kinds of malfunctions within not just your communication, but any type of, like, electronic devices, anything that has to do with information, basically. So we're looking at the Gemini aspects of Mercury, and we also want to remember the Virgo aspects of Mercury, which is where we get into the health, right? So not only are we 2.5 weeks into the Venus retrograde already, but we already started the year off already in the Mercury shadow. So the front end shadow of Mercury actually started on, let's see, this is why I have two calendars, as Toya already told you. Started on the 29th of December. So Venus retrograde started on December 19th. And then the very next week, Wednesday, December 29th, we started the Mercury shadow. So even though Mercury isn't retrograde yet, we have been feeling the energy, hints of it at least, if not stronger, since as far back as December 29th. So if you can remember what was going on around that time for you, you know, you can kind of, you know, put two and two together, and that can help you understand what's been going on. Also, we want to look at, of course, anytime we have a retrograde planet or a planet preparing to go retrograde, we want to look at what zodiac sign the retrograde is happening in, right? And this is where I get to probably one of the biggest themes of this month, which was also, if I remember correctly, was the major theme of December and maybe November. What was I talking about all the year of 2020 and a lot of the year of last year? Capricorn.
The goat.
So once again, yes, the goat, the greatest of all time.
My favorite sign. Yes. Capricorns know that I love y'all. Y'all are my favorite.
Her favorite sign in the world, or in the moon, because that's where her moon is. But yes, the goat is definitely a big theme this month, because this is the energy that has been lingering for years now, especially going back to the 2020, the infamous four planet conjunction of January, January 12th, 2020, that I was talking about even before 2020 got here, to try to help people prepare for that. And then lo and behold, now look at the world and how crazy the shit is after that. So a lot of these past, a lot of what these past few years have been about, or a couple of years have been about, is Capricorn energy being broken up, restructured, the death and resurrection of structures, of institutions, of all things Capricorn. And that's because of what Pluto has been doing in Capricorn, and because of all of the things that have been bumping into Pluto and joining Pluto and leaving Pluto in the sign of Capricorn. So even though we had Saturn and Jupiter leave Capricorn a while ago now, Pluto's still been lingering, you know what I'm saying, in the final degrees of Capricorn. And like I said last month, it's still going to continue to be there for a while. However, Venus retrograde is happening, guess where? In the sign of Capricorn. And if you listened to last month's broadcast, you may remember that Venus collided with Pluto on its way towards Aquarius, but before it got to Aquarius, it stopped at the last degrees of Capricorn. It went retrograde on the 19th, and then it went backwards to collide with Pluto again, a second time. And now we're going to see in the next few months, is going to be backtracking fully to cover the path that already went past, like forwards. Now it's going to cover that path in a retrograde motion to then turn back around and then collide with Pluto a third time. And then in addition to all of that Capricorn energy happening, we have a lot of other shit going on in Capricorn, y'all. So let me just pull out my natal chart here for the first. So today is, as we're recording this, today is the 5th, Wednesday the 5th. But on New Year's Day, we actually had the Sun, we had Juno, we had Venus, we had Pluto, and Mercury all in the sign of Capricorn, with the Moon not too far behind in Sagittarius. And then Mars also in Sagittarius. So both the Moon and Mars, the Moon has already entered Capricorn. Let's see, the Moon entered Capricorn on the first. So it was in Sagittarius, but it did make it into Capricorn by the end of the first. And then the only planet left that was kind of in that little huddle that hadn't made it to Capricorn yet is Mars, and Mars is on the way. So we got a lot of stuff that's hanging on Capricorn right now while Venus is retrograde in that same area. And so this is another thing in regards to what Venus is doing, because if you recall, Chrysalis was saying that this particular month is not really the month to focus on relationships, which at first, I don't know if y'all caught this, but at first I was like, wait, why? And then I thought about it. It's like, oh, okay, because I'm thinking about the fact that Venus is retrograde. So, of course, this is the month to focus on relationships. But Venus is retrograde in an Earth sign, and it's retrograde in Capricorn. So it's not really focused on the Libra aspects of the planet as much as it is focused on the Taurus aspects of the planet. And the reason that is because Venus, yes, it rules Libra, but it also rules Taurus, and Taurus is an earth sign, Libra is an air sign. So the fact that Venus is in an earth sign now, then the earth aspects of Venus are going to be a lot more prominent than the air aspects of Venus, which means that, yes, relationships are going to be somewhat of a thing, but for the most part, we're going to be retrograding in the earthy areas of Venus, which is all about Taurus things. So money, values, possessions, your morals, the things that you stand for, the things that you are willing to not budge on, because it involves like your principles and your beliefs and your character, right? Right. So, and then the other thing too is that because we got all these other planets traveling through Capricorn as Venus is retrograding, then these are showing us what other things to focus on, as opposed to focusing so much on the relationship stuff. So how do we do that? We look at the other planets that are in Capricorn. So what did I say? I said the Sun. I said Juno. We're not going to really get into Juno because that's a little more advanced. Pluto and Mercury, right? And then soon come, we got Mars. So if you look at the different qualities and characteristics of those particular planets, these are the planets that Venus is going to be bumping into while it's going retrograde. And actually, it already bumped into, like I said, it already bumped into Pluto twice. So that's the power. That's the death and resurrection, the evolution, the transformation, which a lot of us clearly have been, you know, dealing with those issues for quite a while, but especially last month and this month, right? As we ended out 2021, and now everybody's looking towards 22 for like this to be the year to like really get us going, which it is, right? But Mercury, it also already bumped into Mercury already. And so Mercury is actually, on New Year's Day, Mercury is already towards the end of Pluto, preparing to go into Aquarius. And we're going to talk about Mercury, of course, more because of the retrograde that that starts with it later in the month on the 14th, which is actually next week. But I just wanted to kind of give y'all a bit of a backdrop, you know, of the energy that we're dealing with on a broader level, because this is the energy that's setting the tone for the entire year, y'all. All right. So we have a lot to cover, but I'm going to just try to get through it as fast as I can. But that's kind of like my little introduction to kind of give some things to think about as you're understanding what to focus on and how to maneuver the Venus retrograde, especially because we've already been in it, but also the Mercury retrograde that's coming up next week. So, oh, and again, Mercury is like airy energy as well as earth energy also, because it rules Virgo and Gemini. So Gemini is that air and Virgo is that earth. So yeah, focus on the things that are associated with the planets that are moving through Capricorn. As you take your notes and we move through this, you know, just get that in your mind. And these are going to be the things that Venus is telling you that you need to be reviewing right now and going over and restructuring and rethinking about and resetting and all the other words that start with re. Mm. Okay. So yeah, with anything you want to add to that so far?
No.
Okay. All right, guys. So let's run through this. So, in addition to everything I already said about the first, we also had interesting conversation going on between the Sun and Uranus, which is also in an earth sign. Uranus is in Taurus. So again, that's highlighting those Taurus concepts that I just spoke about. But they're having a supportive conversation. So again, you know, we're setting the tone, not just for the month, but for the entire year with this type of energy that's helping to support us with everything that's been happening and with what's coming also. But in this particular instance, we got a specific focus on sudden and unexpected change, but in a good way. So whenever we talk about sudden and unexpected change, I'm sure we can appreciate the fact that we can also add into that sentence that it's in a good way. So that's what January 1st, 2022 was all about. So keep that in mind for the rest of the year as much as you can. and that'll help you understand what's happening. And then the very next day, we had the new moon. So there we go with the clearing energy, right? For those of y'all that understand how to use the moon phases, leading up to the new moon is all about clearing out things. And also on the 2nd, which was this past Sunday, we had Mercury transiting into Aquarius. So remember, I just spoke about all those planets that were in Capricorn, right? Mm-hmm. So this past Sunday, we experienced Mercury being that first planet as of this year to leave that Capricorn energy, taking us into Aquarius, which is going to be significant later on when I talk more about how the Venus retrograde and the Mercury retrograde are going to wrap things up. When Venus ends its cycle in terms of moving past its back end shadow and completely frees up its energy, but also the position that Mercury is in when it goes direct. So they're going to be basically tied to each other in a very special way that's going to lead us forward throughout the rest of the year. So Venus, just remember that Venus and Mercury are going to be a huge part of how we break out of all of this stagnation that we've been feeling for a long time. So please remember that, and that'll help you. Okay. So that was the 2nd. So that's big. Then on the 3rd, we got the moon colliding with all of these things in Capricorn all on the same day. So first it comes through, it enters into Capricorn. Remember I said by the end of the 1st. So it's already in Capricorn before Mercury leaves Capricorn. But it doesn't get a chance to get up to Capricorn before Mercury leaves Capricorn. So Mercury's in Aquarius now on the 3rd. And then the moon collides with Pluto early that morning on the East Coast. We're talking about 4:59 a.m. East Coast time. And then it collides with Pluto at 11:21 a.m. And then it collides with Mercury at 9:37 p.m. But by that point, the moon has transitioned into Aquarius. So it actually transitions into Aquarius at 5:44 p.m. So it's already collided with Venus and Pluto, and then it transitioned into Aquarius the same day, and then before that night is out, it collides with Mercury. So the fact that the moon is making a conjunction with all three of those planets all on the same day this early in the month, that's bringing a lot of emotion. That's a lot of what Toya was talking about with the emotional stuff. So we're, and this was 2 days ago. You know, remember, we're recording this on the 5th. So if you can think back, by the time you hear this, think back to the 3rd, and you may have experienced a lot of emotions around those concepts of Venus things, Pluto things, and Mercury things, all right? And then the very next day, the 4th, which was yesterday, the moon had some more stuff going on that is very significant because, again, Uranus is back in the picture, but this time the moon is squaring Uranus. So it's kind of like shaking up some things again, but this time it's going to be instead of like so in a supportive way per se in regards to what we're focused on, now it's going to be more about our emotions and the invisible stuff, but in a way that can kind of like shake things up in a way that we don't really like as much. And then we don't really have a whole lot more going on this week other than today we had a supportive angle between Venus and Neptune. And then this coming Saturday, we have the starting over of a cycle between the Sun and Venus, or what would be the starting over of a cycle between the Sun and Venus. But in this instance, remember, Venus is retrograde. So the Sun and Venus are colliding this coming Saturday. And that is, again, one of those planets that I spoke about that Venus is making this its many collisions with while it's stirring up all of this energy in Capricorn. So with the Sun specifically, Venus is telling us to review, restructure, redo, all of those rewords is specifically around the ideas of what we are focused on. Hint, hint, hint. All right. That's this Saturday, people. So the energy is already, we're already leading up to that. So don't wait till this Saturday. Just know that it's going to hit that exact angle on this Saturday. All right. And remember, Venus still got to turn back around to go forward, to go back over that degree again. So that's the 1st through the 8th. So now let's, we approach in the middle of the month. And just so y'all know, like, there's a lot of stuff that I won't really touch on because the stuff that I am touching on is so major. So keep that in mind too. And really, the last full week of this month is going to be real, real interesting. So I want to make sure that I kind of speed through some of this stuff so I can make sure I talk about that. But now we're in the week of the retrograde, the Mercury retrograde, which starts the following Friday. But let's talk about Sunday first. So now we're at Sunday on, Sunday the 9th. We got another square with the moon, very significant square. Y'all know I don't talk about the moon a whole lot unless it's doing some real significant things. And it's doing some real significant things this month. Because not only are those three collisions I just spoke about, it's all happening on one day, on the 3rd. But on the 9th, it's making a collision with the main character right now, Venus, right? So
hey, you don't talk about the moon.
Yeah, I don't talk about the moon a lot. Only like, you know, if it's an eclipse happening or, I mean, I talk about, you know, the new moon and the full moon every month, I think, sometimes more than more certain months than other months because everything is doing, but, it's making a square with a Venus retrograde on the 9th. So that's really significant because again, Venus is involving all of these collisions with all these planets in the sign that's associated with the entire world restructuring, right? So now we're talking about an emotional trigger associated with all of those things happening on the 9th. So be aware of that. And then the following day, we got a supportive conversation happening with the sun again, but this time it's with the sun and Neptune. So that helps us out with dealing with a lot of the illusions that's been going on. So now we're going to start to see more energy where the illusions are coming to light and no longer being illusions. And I think if I remember correctly, Toya spoke on that a little bit too, in the spread. I forget what section it was about, but like things not being so elusive anymore, or things, I forget how you said it, but basically, we're looking at the idea of a lot of shit that we've been dealing with, even in the realm of illusions and like lies and
Eight of Swords.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. So like, you know, manipulation and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Like, this is another boost forward with us being able to see more of what's actually been happening instead of being told one thing and it's really not what we're being told. All right. So really, by the middle of this month, we're going to start to kind of see a little bit of that paradox that I was talking about with the, you know, how January's got kind of that peculiar energy, because by the middle of the month, we're going to start to see a lot more of this like boost forward type energy. Mm-hmm. But then at the same time, it's going to be like pump your brakes more. So the boost forward energy is going to be coming from all of the shit that Venus is breaking up and finally like knocking out of our way. But Venus is also still retrograde, and this is the week that Mercury starts its retrograde, all right? But before we talk about that, the 11th, which is a Tuesday, got a whole lot of shit going on. So these are the things, this week of the 9th, this is the stuff that's leading us up to this Mercury retrograde. So it's all going to play a part in setting the tone for the Mercury retrograde and how the Mercury retrograde plays out. So on the 11th, we got the moon again. I'm talking about the moon again. So you know that's going to be important. The moon is square with Mercury. The moon is starting to cycle over with this relationship with Uranus. Uranus has been in the picture quite a bit already this month. So keep that in mind. And Uranus is in Taurus. Again, money, values, possessions. Like, no splurging this month. No unnecessary spending money this month. You know what I'm saying? Like, no overdoing it, even with the pampering. You know what I'm saying? Like, the self-care. Like, yes, the self-care, because Mercury retrograde especially. But, like, don't be doing unnecessary shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, yes, take a shower. Yes, you know what I'm saying? Watch what you're eating. Yes, even stock up on some supplements, especially with the weather, you know what I'm saying? And the changes in the weather that's happening with the season. But that four-week retreat in the woods can wait. You know what I'm saying? That trip out of the country with your girlfriends to get away from it all and come back when you feel like it, that shit can wait.
Well, remember short-term travel.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
But But what I was going to say is that it goes back to the Ten of Wands with that you know, invest your energy wisely. Well, money is also an energy.
There it is.
It applies to that as well.
There it is. So do what's important, but be very discerning in regards to what is important. So yes, take care of your health. Be diligent about that and be very focused on that. Just don't go overboard in areas that are just not necessary right now. That's all I'm saying. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I need to take a break. We're doing commercial.
Let's take a break. We'll do announcements.
Announcements.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Do announcement break.
Stay tuned for these following announcements.
Time for announcements. What do we have for you all in January of 2022? Well, first, I am excited to announce my first virtual course of the year called Chasing Roots, Hoodoo Herbalism for Beginners. Yes, I will be teaching y'all how to work them roots. This is an online class. It's scheduled for January 18th at 6:30 Eastern Time. You can go ahead and register on my website, thevibe.com. Registration is $33, and a replay of the class will be made available to all registrants. More information can be found on the website. The next announcement we have is I, Chrysalis Sun, am opening my readings back up starting the first week of February, and my book's already open, so you guys can go ahead and start to book for those of you who've been patiently waiting for me to come back from maternity leave. Again, you can either book on my website, bethevibe.com, or you can go directly to my Acuity, which is chrysalissun.as.me. Starting January 15th, Simbi's Conscious Shop will be back to its regular store hours, which are Wednesday through Friday from 2 p.m. to 7 p.m. and Saturday and Sunday from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. And of course, we are closed on Mondays and Tuesdays. And lastly, we are still accepting submissions from any artists that would like their art featured on our podcast, whether it is poetry or original music, as well as anyone who would like to advertise their business and have their business featured on Be The Vibe Radio. For either inquiries, you can email us directly at therapeuticvibrations@gmail.com. Again, that is therapeuticvibrations@gmail.com.
All right, now the other thing that's going on that same day, we're still on the 11th, is now Mars is talking. And Mars is another planet that's not going to, be as prominent in the beginning of the year, but we're going to start hearing from Mars more and more and more as we get towards the end of this year, and then it's going to really, really start talking. By the last few months of the year, especially when we get to December, it's going to really shake a lot of shit up. So Mars is making its first statement of the year on January 11th, and it's squaring Neptune. So again, the illusion stuff. The illusions are not over, people. Just know that we have certain opportune times where we can kind of pierce through the elusive veil a little bit more than others. January 11th ain't going to be one of them days, all right? So, January 11th, like, that's actually going to be a perfect day to get sucked into a conflict that has nothing to do with what it looks like. So that's definitely one of the days to take heed to the advice that Chrysalis already gave about, you know, keeping in mind that the things you think are problems aren't really problems, or the things you think the problems are about, they have nothing to do with that. So just like let it roll. On January 11th, trust me, let it roll. You do not want to get caught up in no conflicts and no arguments and no fights. And like, nah, like let your ego chill in the passenger seat on that day. And then we have that Friday, January 14th, drum roll. Mercury retrograde starts at 6:41 a.m. Eastern time. So we have two retrogrades. I mean, we always have, like, we often have more than one retrograde or a few retrogrades happening at the same time. But when we see the inner planets have retrogrades to start to overlap like that, that's when we really want to pay attention, because the outer planets are going to retrograde and go direct like every year. You know what I'm saying? But Venus doesn't go retrograde every year. It takes like 2 years or so to go retrograde. Same thing with Mars. You know what I'm saying? Give or take a few months. And then even the shadow periods are long as hell, because the shadow period for Venus ain't going to be over until March 2nd. So again, referring back to some of the things that Toya said that she didn't know, like lined up exactly with what the planets are doing. Like, we're going to be experiencing this Venus retrograde energy all the way through February.
Wow.
To the beginning of March, even though Venus goes direct at the end of January, because the shadow period after the retrograde is over for Venus is more than a month long. So that's another kind of clue to show you like how powerful Venus is and like all the shit that Venus is shaking up right now. All right. So Friday the 14th, we have that overlap begin. So Venus is still retrograde and now Mercury is retrograde. But Mercury starts its retrograde in the sign of Aquarius. But here's the thing, and this is me expounding on something that I mentioned earlier. So this is why Venus and Mercury have such a big part, or playing such a big part in how everything is going to play out for the rest of this entire year. Mercury doesn't start its retrograde until it gets into the sign of Aquarius, which is it's in now already, but it goes retrograde next Friday in the sign of Aquarius. But it goes backwards into the sign of Capricorn to re-stir up all the shit that it just passed through, and all of the things that not all of the things, but a lot of the things that it just stirred up by colliding with Pluto, colliding with Juno, you know what I'm saying, with colliding with the moon. Everything that it passed through on its path through Capricorn, it's either going to repass through that backwards or approach it if it doesn't make it as far as some of those things in the earlier parts of Capricorn. But it's going to stop again to go back direct at the end stages of Capricorn, less than 2 degrees, or less, it may be 3 degrees, but either way, that's a very small amount of degree. Less than 2 or 3 degrees from the exact point where the Venus back end storm ends. Okay, so let me break that down a little bit, because I know that was a lot. That was a mouthful. And some people still not probably even sure exactly what I mean by storm and back end storm and front end storm and all this shit. So let me kind of just help you out with that a little bit. Basically,
bring it in.
Okay, so picture this. Venus went forward through Capricorn, got all the way towards the end of Capricorn and was like, nope, not going to go to Aquarius yet. I'm stopping and I'm going backwards. And I'm going to collide with all of this shit that is now coming through Capricorn as I'm going backwards. So that's what Venus is doing, right? Keep in mind, there's a certain point that Venus stopped to go backwards. And then Venus is going to then go forwards again, and then eventually pass that point that it originally stopped to go backwards. Okay? Mercury is starting its retrograde this Friday to go backwards. And then Mercury is going to stop to go forwards at that point that Venus originally stopped to go backwards. Did you get that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I just want to make sure I'm saying it in a way people can see it.
Yes.
That's extremely significant, because it's like you're looking at all of this energy that's in Capricorn, in addition to the stagnant energy that Pluto has been like holding on to in Capricorn for more than 2 years now, with all of that other shit that happened in Capricorn that led us into all of the craziness we're seeing all over the globe right now. All of that's being broken up with the help of Venus right now, but it's like Venus is getting an extra pull from Mercury to help things get dragged finally out of Capricorn. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay, good. So that's what Venus and Mercury are doing all year long, but especially in the beginning months of the year. So this is part of the reason why this year looks so good, because we're seeing a lot of that come to fruition early on, even though we're dealing with so much of this heavy retrograde energy. All right. I hope that makes sense. Oh, in addition to the fact that the Uranus retrograde is ending this month also. So Uranus energy is also carrying a very, very heavy energy within an Earth sign. So this is like the type of support that we need to help us get through this shit. And it's all starting off very early in the month of January for the year, y'all. So yes, something else to celebrate. Okay. So let's move forward, because I only got a little bit of time left to get through the rest of this. But so we're doubling up on the inner planet retrogrades Friday the 14th. And then we had a full moon the following Monday. And so the full moon is going to be in the sign of Cancer. And we always know where the full moon is, because it's wherever, it's the opposite sign of wherever the sun's at, right? So the sun is still in Capricorn at this point. So we got the full moon in Cancer on Monday, which is its home sign. The full moon or the moon rules Cancer. So that'll be interesting. And it's also going to be opposing Pluto and the sun on that same day. And then the very following day, we got Uranus going direct. So Uranus is stationing the very next day after the full moon, which lets you know that full moon is going to be extremely potent. It's in its home sign and it's hugging Uranus station, which station basically means when the planet is changing direction, from my perspective. So Uranus is that shake it up planet. Uranus is that sudden and unexpected change, shocking experience, innovation, electricity, lightning, like all of these things that, you know, can potentially cause trauma, you know what I'm saying? Shit coming out of nowhere, like blindsiding you. That's Uranus energy. So that particular planet is extremely heavy. It's been extremely heavy, but it's heaviest on that day, because that's where it's completely still and it changes direction to go forward. So in a sense, it's freeing up a lot of energy, because that's also what Uranus does. So that's going to help us break up earthy energy, especially with it being in Taurus. However, it's coming off the ending. It's coming off the heels of that full moon. So it's going to be an emotional breaking up of things. All right. So keep that in mind. She be on it, y'all. That shit be blowing my mind, y'all, the way them cards come out. I'm telling you. And then the very next day after that, so we got like a 3-day whammy right here. We got the full moon Monday, the 17th. Uranus going direct the 18th, Tuesday. And then, and the same day Uranus goes direct, by the way, we got the moon opposing Mercury, which just went retrograde. So that's a whole nother huge added stamp onto that event. And then the very next day, we got the sun finally changing signs, and then Aquarius season starts on Wednesday the 19th. So actually, really, the last two full weeks of this month are going to be huge. So that was the first of the final two full weeks of January. Nothing really else going on for the rest of that week, and then we come to Sunday the 23rd. So Sunday the 23rd, we got Mercury going backwards, colliding with the sun again. So whenever we have a Sun-Mercury conjunction while Mercury is retrograde, this is kind of like having an eclipse, but instead of the sun and the moon, it's the sun and Mercury. This means that Mercury is in between the Earth and the sun, trailing backwards on this path of degrees through the zodiac. All right, so we got the sun on the other side of Mercury on the 23rd. And they're going to be basically colliding in a way where the review, the all those rewords that I speak about whenever I'm talking about a retrograde, now is going to be Mercury energy pulling in, again, our focus more on those things, because that's what the sun is all about, focus. So this is yet another day where we're being told very clearly what to focus on. All right. And you don't have to worry about what not to focus on, because if you know what to focus on, just focus on that. That's the law of attraction. All right. So focus on what those Mercury lessons are. You know what I'm saying? Is your communication healthy? Is your body healthy? You know what I'm saying? What information are you paying attention to? Is it information that that supports the things that you have committed to, in regards to what Toya was mentioning about making sure that your plate is, you know, not too full, you know what I'm saying? And you're not putting anything else new on your plate. And then as a side, real quick, something else I want to make sure I mention while I'm thinking about it. A lot of people are focusing, because I don't think Toya really mentioned anything about this specifically. A lot of people are focusing on their career right now. A lot of people are focused on making changes in their career, and specifically changes associated with doing something that's more in line with their personal values. So if you are doing that, bravo, standing ovation to you. Keep that up. You know what I'm saying? Let that be something that remains on your plate. And I wouldn't even say put it on your plate if it hasn't been on your plate, because I'm pretty sure that even indirectly, even if only indirectly, it's been on your plate, whoever's listening to this. Because, again, Capricorn is where Venus is while it's retrograding, and Capricorn is about our career. It's about our, like, the fruition of the work that we've been putting in, what we've been putting in hard work. All right, so have at it with that, you know what I'm saying? Continue to make sure that that is, that that remains something that you're focused on, because I want to make sure that that I made mention of that, because I don't think Toya touched on that. And that's why, if you've been wondering, if you've been so passionate about making certain changes in your career, and you're, even if you have your own business and those type of things, that's why. All right. I know I've been on that hard. So, and then next we come to the, where we at? The 24th. So let's talk about the 24th. All right. So on the 24th, this is another major event, and it's involving Mars. So again, Mars is in the picture, but this time Mars is making a lot of statement, because this is Mars entering Capricorn to join all of the other things that are in Capricorn. So now, fortunately, Mercury left Capricorn, but it's headed back. It's headed back towards Capricorn again, which, interestingly enough, happens the very next day. But at least we get to see the entry of Mars into Capricorn without that added weight of Mercury. Just yet, even though it does happen the next day. But this is leading up to another huge event, which is coming later in February, I think. Let me see, that's February. Yes, which is Venus making its collision with Mars. Now, the I guess we could call it a good thing. The good thing about the Venus-Mars collision in particular is that Venus will have at least gone direct again before Mars catches up with it, to collide with it. So fortunately, at least Venus won't be going retrograde while it collides with Mars, because that's, we definitely would not want that.
That sounds like a lot of drama.
That would definitely be, that would be so much, much more than a lot of drama. So we're at least happy to see that Venus, even though it still won't be out of its shadow yet, it still won't have reached that point that I spoke about with Mercury, where Mercury's going to end up before Mercury goes back forward again in Capricorn, towards the end of Capricorn. But it'll at least be moving. Venus will at least be moving forward again. So this signifies, the 24th of January signifies a beginning of a particular, like, story, energy-wise, with that type of, with those type of things beginning to come into our experience a lot more. Because not only is this event, this future event, having some foreshadowing on that day, but Mars is changing signs. So even if none of that other stuff was going on, just the fact that Mars is changing signs is already significant enough. But then on top of that, it's also entering a sign where a lot of other shit has already been getting shaken up. And Mars is one of those shaker up planets. So you got Uranus is a shaker up planet. Mars is a shaker up planet. Pluto is a shaker up planet. But Mars is like
that's
that
a
fast.
Lot of shaker up.
That is a lot of shaker up. But Mars is like that young, immature, impatient, I want to pull out my sword, even though I'm not sure if the person in front of me I'm about to slice the head off is really my enemy or not, because I'm just so excited about fighting right now, type of shaker up. Like, that's Mars. You know what I'm saying? The violence, the blood, the gore, the battles, the fury, the war, the vengeance, you know what I'm saying? The ego, that I want to conquer you just for the sake of conquering some shit.
Because it's Tuesday and I've got nothing else to do.
That's one way of putting it, yes. So this is Mars coming into the energy of Capricorn, where already Capricorn has been like the major theme for some years in regards to all of the signs. But this month in particular, we're seeing like a culmination of the recent huge cluster forming in Capricorn coming to an end. So here comes Mars. Like, what you mean coming to an end? Like, I'm just getting started. I'm about to like show y'all what shaking Capricorn shit up is really about. So look forward to that on the 24th. And then the very next day, we have Mercury joining Capricorn again, but now Mercury is reversed. So that's going to be, remember, we're in the last full week of January. This is the week that I was speaking about earlier. That's going to be real interesting. So this is another one of those weeks where you want to like be very mindful and careful about your movements, the thoughts that you're having, that you're dwelling on, the things that you're choosing to engage in. Like, just remember to just stay on those few things that you have either already committed to or that you're being called to commit to, only because the things you're being called to commit to are in alignment with the energies that are at play right now. But nothing more, people, please, nothing more. All right. So by the 25th, we're going to have, we had the sun. Okay. So the sun is no longer in Capricorn too. So that's wonderful also. So by the 25th, we will have Venus in Capricorn, Mars in Capricorn, Mercury in Capricorn, and Juno in Capricorn.
The goat.
All right. And Pluto in Capricorn. Still.
Capricorn is dominating.
That's, yeah, exactly. So, just be careful, y'all. Be careful with this energy, y'all. And then we wrap up that week on the 28th and the 29th with a conversation between Mercury and Pluto on the 28th. So Mercury is coming back to collide with Pluto on that day. And then the very next day, Venus finally goes direct. So that's when the back end Venus shadow begins. But like I said, at least Venus will be direct by that point. But also on that day that Venus turns direct, remember the planets are heaviest on the day-to-day station, whether they're turning to go retrograde or whether they're turning to go direct, right? So on that day where Venus is its heaviest, Saturday the 29th, we also have the moon colliding with Mars, which just entered Capricorn and is ready to like get shit popping. So now we're going to add the emotional aspect to everything that I just spoke about in regards to Mars's entry into Capricorn on the same day that Venus goes direct. So yes, the Venus shit ain't over, but this is definitely a sign to how much the Venus shit ain't over. All right. And then on the 30th, we have the sun squaring Uranus and the moon colliding with Pluto right after it collided with a retrograde Mercury. There's Mercury retrograde right there happening as I'm talking.
And delirium
and all of that stuff. So yeah, we got an intense month, y'all. It's a good month.
But it's intense.
It's a dope tone setter for the year. It's a lot of shit finally being broken up to where we can finally start to see some things move forward that have not been able to move forward for a very long time. But again, that paradox show, like, be careful with it. Don't get too excited and don't act recklessly. Like, don't see a lot of good shit happening for you and then just get careless. Because then all the good shit is going to start reversing and disappearing. And then that's going to make the disappointment even greater than it might already be, even if you're not fucking up. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So that's how we're ending out the month, folks. And remember, all of February, we're dealing with the Venus shadow. And we're also dealing with a Mercury retrograde all the way up until February 3rd. All right. And then the shadow, Mercury shadow was over finally on the 17th. So that's a lot going on.
Yeah.
That is a lot going on. 22 is going to be an interesting year, but I'm excited. I'm looking forward to it.
Me too.
I got the things on my plate already that I want on there. So I know what to focus on. I'm good. I'm just going to let the energy continue to direct.
Go with the flow.
Go with the flow.
Yes.
Yes. So how'd I do?
You did amazing.
Thank you, honey.
Yes, you did great.
It was a lot of shit to talk about.
It was a lot.
A lot of shit to talk about. So I'm going to pass it over to you and let you go ahead and take us out. Genius, take us out of here.
Oh, my God. Well, that is it, you guys. This is January 2022. That is the Why in the Sky for the first month of the new year. Definitely take heed, you know, to the advice given for this month because it sets the tone for the entire year. And honestly, this is one of the best months that I've seen in a very long time.
Yes, and it's definitely one of the best Januaries I've seen in an extremely long time.
Right. As a matter of fact, just out of curiosity, I think I'm going to go back and re-listen to The Why in the Sky from January of last year just to see what that was looking like, just to compare.
Yo, I'm gonna suggest you listen to January of 2020. To compare those two.
Yes.
Because I'm sure you will find that extremely interesting. And those of you out there, you might want to do that as well, just to, I mean, that'll help you understand what we're coming out of.
Right.
Really.
Yeah, it's looking really good, y'all. So, again, we definitely thank you so much for listening. Thank you for tuning in, putting your folks on to us. Continue to share this podcast.
Yes, yes.
With folks.
We love all the feedback.
We do love the feedback. It definitely is what keeps us going. We appreciate it. We appreciate y'all being such loyal listeners.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
And, yeah, that's all we got.
That's it.
That's it.
That's it.
All right. Peace, y'all.
Peace.
Until next time.
Out.